5,000 hungry people would be fed. Lord, here's my basket. It's not much, I know. You don't have to ask it. It's the least I could do. In each and every life, there's a basket filled with goods. Although it may not be used exactly as it should. So many throw it all away or keep it for themselves. While others never use it, they just place it on a shelf. Lord, I know what you've done for me. My basket can't repay. But if you keep it, you will feed some hungry soul along the way. Lord, here's my basket. It's not much, I know. But take it and use it. Please don't refuse it. Maybe it will grow. Although I could keep it, I'll give it to you. So, Lord, here's my basket. You don't have to ask it. It's the least I could do. Although I could keep it, I'll give it to you. So, Lord, here's my basket. You don't have to ask it. It's the least I could do.
We have certainly been blessed to get to know and spend some time with the Behay family and Miss Lynette and Samuel and Joshua and Jeremiah's in the nursery and Brother Mark. And boy, what a joy it is to get to know them. He's been here all week, and I know he's ready. Amen. I would be if I was in his case, sitting here and soaking it all up, just waiting for the opportunity to get up and let the Lord just turn him on. Amen. I've told all these missionaries, just try to do what the Lord wants you to do, whether it be presenting your ministry, whether it be preaching the Word of God. And I told Brother Mark, I said, Brother, you're a preacher. You go in these prisons and you preach. I said, so come preach to us. Praise God. Come preach to us. So, Brother Mark, you come on up and introduce yourself and preach the Word, brother. Amen. Amen.
First off, I want to apologize. I've been asking my wife to write a message for years now, and she has yet to do it. So you're stuck with what I can come up with. She preaches to me all the time. So this is my wife, Lynette, and Samuel and Joshua. Jeremiah is in the nursery, and I know we were here back in, September? November, some one of those months, and I presented the ministry then, and I believe most of you that were here, you know, saw that and so forth, and what we do is primarily with Rock of Ages is go into the prisons, do revivals. We do three-day revivals and so forth. We go in and preach, and we do basically cell-to-cell soul winning and so forth, so I'm going to take the time and use it for preaching a message. And if you would, please turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verse When you get there, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Mark 14, verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Father God, I thank you, dear Lord, for giving us an opportunity, Father. And Lord, I pray that you will open up our hearts and open up my mouth. Lord, Father, use me. Father, get me out of the way, dear Lord. Help that this message would touch our hearts, that we would not leave in the same spiritual condition that we came, Father. Use us. Bless us. We love you and we thank you for dying on the cross and giving us eternal life. Father, let us live a life that reflects that it has meaning. Lord, we love you. And again, thank you. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. Please be seated. Based on John chapter 12, I'm going to identify this woman as Mary. What we're looking at here is sacrificial love. I'll give you the outline here first. Verse 3, we see that the woman's love was selfless and costly. Verses 4 and 5, we'll see that the woman's love was questioned and murmured against. Verse 6, her love was a good and lovely thing. And in verse 7, the woman's love grasped the opportune time. In verse 8, the woman's love did all it could. And in verse 9, the woman's love was rewarded. I want you to notice a couple of things. First, in verse 3, we see that Mary's love was selfless and costly. Because of the hot, dry climate of the day, it was a custom to anoint the head with oil, especially the head of guests, but this was not Mary's purpose. I want you to notice the first point in this particular verse is that Mary anointed Jesus herself. A servant wouldn't ordinarily do the anointing, and Simon, owning a home large enough to entertain so many guests, would certainly have had servants. But Mary was not a servant. She was one of the heads of the household. Mary was not just anointed to fill the custom of the day. Her purpose was much greater than that. Second point that I want you to see is that Mary took the most precious thing that she had and gave it to Jesus in the most significant way, in an act of anointing. The oil used for anointing the head cost only a mite, the smallest coin in circulation, amounting to about a penny. But that's not the oil that Mary used. She took a priceless oil, an oil that was used by kings, and they only used it drop by drop. Based on my research, the best that I can come up with is that this bottle was approximately worth a year's wage. This was not some dollar store cheap perfume that she picked up for 99 cents somewhere. And I want you to also notice she didn't just hand it to him. She broke the neck of the flask and poured the whole bottle on his head and feet, according to John 12, 3. I want to go back to the first point. The woman's love was selfless and costly. Mary anointed Jesus herself. She didn't give it to somebody else to go do it. She did it herself. She got involved. I want to tell you something. If you're going to have a relationship with Jesus, it's got to be personal. It's got to be involved. You cannot live off of somebody else's spirituality. I mentioned that Sunday morning at Sunday school, but I'm telling you, in this illustration, Mary got involved in her own. She had a relationship with the Lord, and she anointed him herself. Listen, and I please don't take me wrong. I'm not trying to offend anybody or rub anybody the wrong way, but I got to tell you something. If you believe that coming in and giving to missions or putting your tithe in the collection plate for somebody else to go have a relationship with the Lord makes you right, you're wrong. You have to have established a relationship yourself, and it's got to be personal. Mary's relationship with Jesus was personal, and it showed in her life. She anointed him herself. She didn't pay somebody else to go do it. And this ties in with the Sunday morning of a strong church. You're not given the missions for somebody else to go be right with God. You're paying somebody, you're donating, you're giving a mission for somebody else to continue what you're doing locally. To go in another area of the world that you can't be at, but to continue to do the work that you're doing at home here. I also want you to notice that Mary used a precious ointment. It meant something. She didn't give God what she had left over. It wasn't the dregs in the bottom of a container. It was precious. It had significant meaning in her life. Oftentimes, God gets what's left. We take the cream off the top of our time, of our money, of our emotions, our affections, and we give God what's left if there actually is anything. She did not do this. It was significant. She took something that had value. When I got out of prison and I started serving the Lord and getting more involved and becoming faithful, my most precious gift was my freedom. I valued it more than money. I had lost it so many times, and even when I wasn't locked up under the bondage of drugs for so long, I hadn't been free. Even when I was released from jail or prison, I still wasn't free. So my most valuable gift, my most precious gift, was my time, my life. So that's what I gave back, was my life. Literally saying, Lord, here am I, send me. And it was more like, God, if you can use me, I'll go. I'm not worthy. I'm not expecting it. I'm not demanding it. But God, I'd love to serve you. God, if you'll use me, please use me. The devil used me for years, Lord. If you can get some good out of my life, please do so. Jesus meant something to me. Jesus still means something to me. The illustration that Mary gives, the example that we see here in this story, Jesus meant something to her. Mary's anointing of Jesus was a selfless act, a costly act, an act of love and faith in the Lord Jesus. Very simply put, Mary anointed Jesus to show him how deeply she loved him and believed him to be the true Messiah, the anointed one of God. He was her Savior, Lord, and King, and he had done so much for her and her family. Listen, I want you to understand this before I get to the next point. If you're not doing it for the Lord, you're not going to continue in it. If you're doing it for your friends or your family or your pastor or other people in the church, I'm telling you, you're going to burn out. These guys don't go to the field and endure what they do because they're doing it to try to please man somewhere. It's through their faith in Christ that gets them and keeps them going. And it's the same for us here at home. We won't be able to be faithful if it's not done for the Lord. I want you to know that she did it before many witnesses. She did all that she could. She acted. She arose and went for the most precious gift she could think of. A most costly bottle of perfume, and she gave it to him in such a way that he would know that at least one person truly loved him and believed him to be the true Messiah. I want you to notice something. True love is selfless and costly. True love forgets self and pays whatever price is necessary to demonstrate one's love. True love gives its most precious possession. True love is being all that one should be and can be. True love is giving one's most prized possession, surrendering all that one is and has. True love is going wherever one can best share his love, serving wherever one's love will be the most effective. And I've seen a lot of people, even missionaries, go to a field that they wanted to go to and not necessarily the one that God called them to. And it's the same with people in the church. They kind of pick what they want to do in areas that they want to serve in, but not necessarily where God can use them to be the most effective. You know, I mentioned this, I believe, Sunday morning. It wasn't my idea to go back to drug addicts and convicts and all the other filth that I have to deal with, but that's where I came from. That's where my testimony can be the most effective. That's where God can use me the most. That applies to all of us. There's an area in your life, there's relatives you don't want to talk to, there's friends you don't want to see, but you'll be the most effective there for the cause of Christ more than someone else. I can't tell you how many stores I went back to and how many letters I had to write and how much restitution I had to pay for crimes I committed. For years, I turned myself in for robbing a gun shop, turned myself in for burglarizing several stores, and made restitution for crimes I didn't get caught for, by man anyway. We see so many times people don't be honest until they're caught. And I look at it this way, being honest after you get caught isn't being honest. So I went back and told people how Christ had truly worked in my life and changed, whether they accepted it or believed it or wanted to hear it. That wasn't my concern. But telling them about my life changing, my personal experience with Jesus. You see, what we have here is Mary had a relationship with the Lord, and she did this before many witnesses. And I want to say the disciples here will read. Listen, you're talking about a time when women were not highly esteemed or highly valued. Doing something in front of a room full of men that they wouldn't do themselves. You know, I want to tell you something. More and more as we go out and we end up somewhere, and maybe there's soul winning or door to door, or you know, doing different things on a church on a Saturday morning or a Friday night or street preaching or whatever it is. And I get there, and sometimes I take the boys, and sometimes I just go myself. And it's usually the pastor, maybe an associate, the missionary, and a couple widow women. A couple widow women, not the men, not the spiritual leaders of the church, not the spiritual leaders of the home. We were at a mission conference in Las Vegas one time, and we went out and had a men's prayer breakfast. Then we were supposed to go to the nursing home and preach and everything, and I think there's like 11, 12, 13 men showed up for the breakfast, and after it was over with, everybody left except the pastor, the associate, and the missionary. We were the only three that went to the nursing home and preached and talked to the people. And we had somebody, an old person, come and make a profession of faith. The rest were about the breakfast. They were about the fellowship, but they weren't about the Lord. We see here that Mary's focus was on Christ. And I want to tell you another thing that true love demonstrates is sincerity. See, in Ephesians 6:24, it tells us, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. You know what? If I go into a prison and I start preaching, or even in a congregation, and I start talking, and I'm not sincere, people can see right through me. They can read me like a book. so can all your friends and relatives. If you're not sincere about your Christianity, everybody around you is going to know it. See, we know Mary was sincere based on her lifestyle, what she did. Do people know who has the preeminence in your life based on what you do? And I'm not just talking about going to church, but when you don't think, listen, the integrity of a man is mankind now. It's not based on what he does when people see him. It's based on what he does when he doesn't think anybody's looking. What's your integrity here? What I'm asking. See, Mary had integrity. She was criticized. We see in verses 4 and 5 that Mary's love was questioned and murmured against. The word indignation means to ache within, to be vexed and disturbed. The word murmured means to growl, to rebuke, to scold. It indicates strong emotions. What disturbed the disciples was not the fact that Mary anointed Jesus. Anointing him was so easy to understand. It was a common custom of the day. But what disturbed them was the cost of the gift. It seemed too valuable and priceless. It seemed unnecessary and thoughtless. It seemed misplaced and wasted. Very simply, they questioned the act and murmured against it. They became rather emotional about it. They just thought it wasn't necessary. I want to tell you something today. When you step out from the crowd to do something more for Christ, people are going to point at you. They're going to murmur against you. And don't be surprised if it's the brethren. Do you have to go to that field? Do you have to go on Saturday? Do you have to go to help the pastor? Do you have to do all that to be right with God? It makes them look at themselves and what they're not doing. They don't like it. But instead of being honest with themselves, they criticize you. Mary was criticized. I want you to also notice it was the disciples. We see here in verse 4 where it says, there were some that had indignation. In John, it says it was Judas. In Matthew, it says some of the disciples. It wasn't just Judas. There were others. They had a problem with her gift. They murmured against her. And I tell you, there are always going to be those who question the believer's love and sacrifice for the Lord. Some will even murmur against the believer who makes a significant sacrifice. They don't understand the believer's love and commitment for the Lord. They question the sacrifice of money, possessions, comfort, popularity, position, prestige. There are always those who feel the believer's love and sacrifice goes too far. They feel the commitment of life is not necessary, not to the extent of total sacrifice. They feel that the commitment of money is not necessary, not to the extent of tithing or giving to missions. That the commitment of behavior is not necessary, not to the extent of separation from the world. The commitment of tongue is not necessary, not to the extent of cleaning up one's speech and completely witnessing courageously. It goes too far. They question it. We see in verse 6 that Mary's love was a good and lovely thing. Jesus knew the disciples were murmuring, questioning against Mary, and he reacted with, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me." Mary was driven to express her faith and love for him in the most meaningful way she could. She did this by anointing him as her Lord with the most expensive perfume she possessed. The most significant person in Mary's life was the Lord. He was the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord of her life and family. She wished to show him he was deserving of all that she was and had. I want you to pay attention to these points because there's going to become a question at the end. Mary committed. She was committed. She was faithful. She stepped out in a time when it wasn't popular and did something that wasn't popular. Even with those that walked with Jesus. that healed people, that performed miracles, that cast out demons. They murmured. They complained against her. Listen, the love and sacrifice that leads a person to do good works and lovely works for Christ will always attract his attention. Mary was the fulfillment of Matthew 5:16, where it states, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." She did that. We see a comparison to Titus 1:16, where it states they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being an abominable, disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. One or the other. One or the other. Mary did what she should. I want you to notice something else. In verse 7, we see that Mary's love grasped the opportune time. Jesus made a significant point that is often missed by men. Opportunities come and go, and once they're gone forever. I touched on this on Sunday morning, but Mary demonstrated the difference. The poor would always be present for the believers to help, but the privilege of ministering to Jesus would not always be available. If the disciples were to minister him, they had to grasp the opportunity while Jesus was with them. What a lesson we can glean from this. That window of opportunity to glorify God in our life is small. And it doesn't always come at a convenient time for us. It doesn't always come when we want it. And again, I don't care if it's that 16-year-old girl behind the counter at a 7-Eleven somewhere, or one of your co-workers going through something, or one of your relatives. There's an opportunity that God gives each and every one of us to talk about Christ, to glorify Christ, to give our testimony, to give our witness. Once that opportunity is gone, it's gone forever. See, they would have the poor always to do for, but if you want to glorify God, you got to pick the opportunity when it comes and presents itself. I want you to notice in verse 8, Mary's love did all she could. Two things here. Jesus said she has done what she could. She took all that she had, symbolized in her most precious and priceless possession, sacrificed it for Jesus. She could do no more. Listen, he didn't criticize her for not doing what she couldn't. He says she has done what she could. God doesn't want us or expect us to do what we can't, but he does expect us to do what we can. He expects us to be good stewards of the money he gives us. He expects us to be good stewards of the time he gives us. Are we doing what we can? Is Jesus going to say that about us? She did all she could. Second point on that one, the anointing of Jesus pointed toward his burial and his death. It's exactly what Jesus said. She did it for my burial. He said that her love and faith, the anointing of his body, pointed toward his death. Simple terms, Mary's love and faith, gift and anointing was a witness of anticipation of an upcoming event. What a greater witness we have today. We've got a witness of history, of a fact. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and lives forever. We should have a greater witness than Mary. We should have a bolder witness than Mary. We should have a stronger witness than Mary. We're witnessing the fact. Not something that is going to happen, but has happened. We should have a greater witness than Mary did. Verse 9, Mary's love was rewarded. Jesus honored Mary because she had so greatly honored him. Several things about Mary stand as an ideal for all: her deep love and faith in Jesus, her sacrificial gift, her courage in proclaiming her strong love and faith by anointing Jesus before a room full of men. Such devotion and love could not be allowed to fade from history. Jesus memorialized it, and I believe he'll memorialize the faith and love of any believer who sacrifices for him today. I believe we're going to give account of everything we think, say, and do. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, 14 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the old duty of man. For God should give every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We're going to give account. When those opportunities came, did we glorify Christ in our life? People, you're accountable for this missions conference. You're accountable for the preaching, for the word of God you've heard. Those of you that have made trips to the altar, you're accountable for what God laid on your heart. You're without excuse. But I believe that any one of us that honors Jesus in our lives, that's going to come up again. We're going to see that again when we stand before the Lord on our judgment day. You know, I know a lot of people want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I know I want to hear that, but I'm telling you what, there's a commitment there. There's a faithfulness there. There's a sacrifice there. If you want to hear those words, there's something you got to do. There's conditions that got to be met. We can't be idle. We can't sit on the fence. Mary didn't sit on the fence. She acted. I want to ask you tonight, this is simply one question. Based on your life, based on your relationship with the Lord, are you a Mary or a murmurer? Are you doing what you can for the Lord? Will it be said that you've done what you could, or is it going to be something that you're going to be caught murmuring and complaining that the pastor should have preached this, or he should have done this, or he should have handled that differently? Or I don't like that missionary, or I don't think this guy qualified, this and that. Are you a murmurer, or are you a Mary? Are you doing what you can, or are you criticizing those that do?
Scriptures here, the Bible says, the churches at Macedonia, he said, how then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded of the riches of their liberality. Their great trial of affliction, they had abundance of joy. And in a time of deep poverty, the Bible says, they were able to abound into the riches of their liberality. And that all begins whenever they first, the Bible says, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And that provided this sort of opportunity. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Prove the sincerity of your love. This thing about giving, that lady, that Mary could have sold that alabaster box of ointment. We don't know what all she could have done with the money. But the most important thing she could have done, and Jesus said this himself, was to give it to him. Give it, pour it out on him. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Let's sing a song. Thank you, Brother Mark. Mother Ray, come on, lead us.
Grab his home book and turn to 390. Hymn number 390. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? Here we go. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree? To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? Jesus, when he has done so much for me.
Hold a second.
The hours that I have wasted are so many. The hours I've spent of Christ are few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? When he has done so much for me.
On the last.
No longer will I stay within the valley. I'll climb to mountain heights above. The world is dying now for want of someone to tell them of the Savior's matchless love. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? When he has done so much for me.
Amen. Good singing. You may be seated.
Brother Chad sings. All right, Brother Chad's going to come sing a special. And then whenever he's done, preacher, you just come on up and preach. All right. Amen. Thank you, Miss Susie, for playing that piano.
Could it be that up in heaven, God is sitting on his throne, anticipating another sinner who will soon become his own? Years of wasted living and years of toil and strife are just about to be over as he receives the gift of life. Go sound the horn, strike up the choir. A sinner is saved, saved from the fire. No more in darkness, he's received my son. All heaven's rejoicing, that's the value of one. The Holy Spirit has been working to soften up the heart. All he needs is a willing servant to simply do his part. Can you imagine up in heaven the joy there'll be that day? As a sinner bows his head to pray, can't you hear the Father say, go sound the horn, strike up the choir. A sinner is saved, saved from the fire. No more in darkness, he's received my son. All heaven's rejoicing, that's the value of one.
Star construction on his mansion, there on Hallelujah Street. He doesn't know yet what is waiting when the Savior he shall meet. Go sound the horn, strike up the choir. A sinner is saved,
safe from the fire. No more in darkness, he's received my son. All heaven's rejoicing, that's the value of one. All heaven's rejoicing, that's the value of one.